So welcome back. We're happy to have Alberta Nazzoli back for part two of how business combination accounting rules impact certain transactions entered into by smaller reporting companies. So now let's assume that a company has determined that it can meet the SEC reporting requirements, right? And the target company is auditable. They can meet the timing deadlines and get all these things handled and go through all the hoops. What are some of the accounting issues that companies should be concerned with?
So if a company has concluded that it can actually meet all the reporting requirements related to the deal itself, it now has to go handle the accounting implications of acquiring a business. And there are quite a few large considerations, but I'll focus just on a few that I feel are the important ones. So one is the purchase accounting itself and the fair value nature of the accounting. Two, are any earnouts included in the terms of the acquisition agreement? And three, what are the intangible assets and is there goodwill?
So fair value nature of the accounting, can you explain to all of our listeners what this means?
Sure, of course. So when a company acquires a business, it is generally required to recast all of the assets and liabilities of that business to their respective fair values as defined under generally accepted accounting principles or GAAP.
So if a company does their accounting one way and the acquirer does it a different way, the acquirer has to bridge all that so that it conforms to their way of doing their accounting? Is that
what they generally have to do is report their financial statements in accordance with GAAP measures so that they can be actually auditable.
So, Alberta, moving on here with our topic, what are the acceptable valuation models? Can you please explain that for us?
Yes, so let's just go into the GAAP definition of fair value. So GAAP defines fair value as the price that would be received to sell an asset or paid to transfer a liability in an orderly transaction between market participants at the measurement date. Okay, that was a mouthful. So sometimes that is easy to measure, like a stock trading on an active market or cash or even a bond sometimes. But oftentimes that fair value has to be estimated and that requires a valuation model to come up with the estimated fair value. And in terms of what is an acceptable valuation model, there can be many that can be used. And that topic deserves its own podcast, but from a valuation specialist. But suffice it to say that it's a process where management is required to make a lot of educated assumptions and projections to determine the fair value of a given asset or liability.
So I don't suppose this is something internal management can do on their own. What do you suggest?
Well, I suppose they could. There's nothing prohibiting it. But in general, I would recommend that companies engage a professional valuation specialist to assist with the valuation. The issues may sometimes be too technical to leave to those who might not have that type of extensive experience and technical knowledge. And there is just a lot at stake when it comes to these types of transactions, and you just want to get it right.
Yes. And sometimes, like they say, it's better to spend a little more and get it right the first time.
Yes, definitely.
Because it can be frustrating and time-consuming.
Yes, companies sometimes might actually end up paying more money when they try to save the money up front, and then it might not be done correctly, and at the end, they end up paying a lot more money
for it, right. So how about earnouts? Tell us about the earnouts.
Okay, so generally, an earnout is additional purchase consideration that the sellers earn if the target company performs in the period after the transaction. Most often, we see these as sales measures, meaning if the target business performs at a given sales volume, the sellers will earn additional consideration. Companies include these earnouts in order to incentivize the target company's management or to take some purchase price risk out of the transaction. And earnouts continue to impact financial reporting because the fair value accounting associated with them impacts.
So why is this also so complicated?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. First, sometimes it's very difficult to tell if an earnout is really compensation. There are important differences in accounting for these things, both at the transaction date and in the ongoing reporting of it. If what is intended to be an earnout results in compensation accounting, the company is going to incur expenses in the future, something that wasn't planned for.
What if it does qualify for an earnout? What are the issues there?
Well, if it's an earnout, it goes back to fair value accounting. The company has to value that earnout under the fair value rules.
Okay, I think I understand. But other than the complexity that we talked about before, why would that be a concern at all to a company?
Well, not only does the company have to measure the fair value of that earnout at the date of the transaction and set it up as a liability, they will also have to value it and mark it to market every single quarter thereafter until it expires or until it's settled. And that potentially just pushes a lot of variability into the income statement and creates a lot of unknowns for investors and other users of the financial statements.
So in summary, really, earnouts are complex and can be quite problematic, right? It's what I'm hearing.
Yes. And it's important for management teams to understand what they are getting into when they use them to facilitate a transaction. They need to understand what differentiates them from compensation and what the implications are for both the accounting and the subsequent change in the value of that earnout.
That's a very interesting topic that perhaps maybe we can explore in more detail on our next podcast.
Oh, definitely.
But then our next question brings us to goodwill and intangible assets. Why do you call these items out specifically earlier?
So these two items have so many specific rules and accounting implications tied up in them, both at the acquisition date and after, that management has to make sure they understand them all. The implications to the future are quite significant.
Can you elaborate a little more on that, Alberta?
Sure. So both intangible assets and goodwill are fair value concepts, but intangible assets such as trademarks, technology, and such are valued as a separate asset subject to the fair value rules of GAAP. Those rules are highly dependent on management estimates, assertions, and best guesses. They are also required to be evaluated thereafter for impairment. So you have to get them right or you're looking at impairment down the road. And again, volatility and unpredictability to the income statement. These uncertain issues will be ongoing.
And how about goodwill?
So goodwill generally arises in transactions when the value of the liabilities are greater than the assets. It isn't truly a fair value measure, but a result of the fair value nature of the measurement of the other assets, including intangible assets and liabilities. So it's highly dependent on all these other fair value measures. It also is highly dependent on Byzantine tax accounting rules, but fair value does come into play in the future.
And what exactly does that mean?
So as the company continues to operate, they are required to evaluate their goodwill every reporting period for impairments. There is a bit of a tie in here with earnouts. Both may be driven by performance that is different than expected. Both are also dependent on significant estimates and judgments made by management, and both can cause volatility in the income statement again. But unlike earnouts, which can go up or down in value, goodwill only goes down.
Wow. So this is complex and potentially a big question mark and a big unknown impact on future earnings.
Definitely. So management really needs to have a strong handle on this and how all the other items impact it. I have seen many management teams struggle to understand how intangibles and goodwill are derived and what they mean to the future in terms of their impact on the financial statements.
Very interesting. I find this quite intriguing, to be quite honest. This is stuff that is so important for management to actually be aware of. And sometimes we get so caught up in running businesses that we don't dig into these real significant issues and impact on financial statements. So thank you so much for your time, Alberta. This was, I'm sure, quite informative for some of our small reporting companies. In summary, do you want to just give us a closing synopsis of business combination accounting rules?
Sure, of course. So in summary, if a company is considering to enter into an asset acquisition agreement or a business combination, it's very important to invest the resources and time in assessing all the terms of that agreement to determine the proper accounting treatment. Did they acquire just an asset or did they acquire an actual business? And if they did indeed enter into a business combination, they should make sure that they perform all the necessary steps to properly account for all the aspects of the transaction and determine whether they can meet the related SEC reporting requirements.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Alberta. I'm sure our listeners, our small reporting companies, will find this useful. And if anyone has any questions, where can you be reached?
I can be reached here at Singer Lewak at ENIZZOLI at singerleewack.com. Or our number is 310-477-3924.
Well, thank you so much, Alberta, for joining us today. And we'll be in touch soon for more information on one of the topics that we touched upon here.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being here.